Media team, can I get a copy of my highlight tape for when I go back home? I need that. I love that right there. That was so good. Hey, why don't we clap? Come on, church. Isn't it a good day to be in the house of the Lord? Woo! So good to be here in this space. Listen to me. I've heard about the great work that God is doing in H-Town through the Champion Forest Church. But can I just tell you, it's better in person, all right? Come on, God is moving in this city. He is moving in this church. He's moving in the next generation. And what a joy it is to, for such a time as this, that by his grace, we get to be a part of this moment. Last night was so powerful, and by God's grace, we'll just continue it right in here into Sunday. One more time, Pastor Jarrett, love you, honor you, super grateful for you. Your friendship was an answer to prayer in 2014 when we were just praying that the Lord would connect us, that Luke chapter 9 prayer of, Lord, send out more laborers into our harvest to join us into this journey. And God answered that prayer by connecting me with Pastor Jarrett to lock arms with us and to see that fellowship continue. You guys have an incredible pastor and first lady of this house, amen. What a blessing it is to be a part of, not just Dr. J is what I call him, Dr. J, I think in basketball mindsets, but also Pastor Jeff and his family. You guys are just incredible and love what God is doing. So I'm honored to be a part. Hey, I even pulled out my sport coat because nobody rocks a sport coat like Pastor Jarrett, amen? Come on, his collection is strong. I've been learning from you. But I decided to bring you one of our sport coats from Las Vegas. Malachi, can you throw me one of our, we just dropped this hoodie last week, all right? And it's out of one of my favorite passages in the scripture, John 15. It says, less trying, more abiding, all right? And I wanted to bring you one of those from Las Vegas and throw you one of those from us to you. We honor you, Pastor Jarrett. And again, so grateful to be here. I have the honor of being the husband to my lovely wife, Nina Ratner. We have 5 sons, come on, right? Raising up the next generation. The Bible said, be fruitful and multiply. God has been blessing our multiplication. That's Epaph, he's 9. And that's Asa, 7. Hayden Jr.'s 5. That's little Lion on the side of me there, he's 3. And then that's our newest baby boy, he's about 5 months old. Obadiah, we call him Obi Kobe, all right? And somebody said, Obi-Wan Kenobi? I didn't really think about it like that. But I guess so. Obi-Kobi. And that's our family. And just bringing a greeting from our family to yours. I know that they would have loved to be here, but send their best. Man, that's a lot of babysitters and stuff to get all those kids here. So, but they just send their love to the Champion Forest family from Las Vegas. Not the city of sin, but the city of him. Amen. Right, God is doing a great work. We're not gonna give sin any credit. God's moving in our city, and he's doing it a great work even through your partnership. Last night, we kicked off in the closing session of the Freedom Conference a message on Jesus being the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we talked about the life, and it really resonated with me. Because at the beginning of 2025, I just made it my prayer that this year would be a year to go deeper. I didn't want to have a repeat of 2024. I definitely didn't want to go backwards. I feel like God had more for me in my life, and I knew in order to experience the more, I needed to go deeper. The word deeper, by definition, means to go beyond the surface, to not just stay in the kiddie pool of Christianity where it's safe and we splash each other and we do things in our comfort, but to even go a little bit deeper where God dependence had to become my reality, where I needed to swim in an area that I hadn't swam before. God, I wanna go deeper. Anybody wanna go deeper in 2025? Am I by myself? Okay, come on, we got a church full of people hungry with expectant faith. Oh Lord, take us deeper. God, I wanna have more fruit attached to my life in 2025 than I had before. And so I felt like the Lord began to work on me in a specific passage of scripture in order to go deeper, in order to produce more fruit, good fruit, much fruit. I needed to learn about this topic in John chapter 15, where Jesus gives what's called his farewell sermon. He was just in the upper room. He had displayed a radical moment of humility by washing his disciples' dirty feet. And then he institutes the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, during that Passover week. He identifies Judas as the one who's just about to betray him. And then Jesus looks at his disciples as John 14 closes and he says, "Let us rise and get going." Now, we don't know exactly where he went, but his next stop would be at the Garden of Gethsemane. And around the corner of that would be the cross. And I believe that Jesus was sitting on this sermon, waiting for the right time, the right moment to preach this final farewell message to his disciples. He started with, "Follow me." And now his language has changed to, "Abide in me." And Jesus is kicking off this message in a way that my vision goes to him pausing at one of those big Israeli fig trees or oak trees. And Jesus just pauses on his way to the garden. And he looks at his disciples and he preaches this message. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn with me to John chapter 15. We're gonna look at verses 1-6. And how we do it in Las Vegas is just an encouragement and just a focus. If you're ready, say ready. Come on, give the person next to you a little nudge and say, "Get ready." Hey, how about on the other side, tap them as well. Say, "You are my second choice, but I love you." Don't take it personal. Get ready. Hey, if you're hungry for the word this morning, say, "Let's eat."
Let's eat.
Well, Father, now as we get ready to eat from your word, okay, we know that we don't live off bread alone. We live off every word. And just like I read this morning in Proverbs chapter 2, it says the person who calls out for insight, the person that raises their voice for understanding, will know the fear of the Lord and will know his wisdom. God, we're crying out to you this morning. Oh, come on, my soul. Don't get shy now as we open up your word. God, would you speak to us today? Just join me in that prayer, champion, for us. Just say, "Lord, speak to me now." Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts. God, we don't want to just check a box. Take us deeper this morning into the garden through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15, verses 1-6. Imagine Jesus preaching this message to his 11 disciples. One had already left. He has his 11 with him. And he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Hey, let's go ahead and read this verse out loud together. Verse 5, ready, set, go. "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." This is the word of the Lord here today. I want to preach a message to you today from a simple title. I've titled it, "Deeper with the Father." Deeper with the Father. You know, last night at the conference, we talked about going deeper in the vine. Jesus here at the beginning of this sermon says, "I am Yahweh," right? He's declaring that he's the great I am. Who's gonna forgive you of your sins? Jesus says, "I am." Who's gonna pay for your debt? Jesus says, "I am." Who's gonna go with you, not just on Sunday, but on Monday? Jesus says, "I am." Praise God, he's not "I was," he's "I am," amen? Come on, am I talking to anybody this morning? Right? He's the great I am, and he says, "I am the true vine." Now, I'm as city as they come. If people say, "Hey, let's go hiking," I say, "Let's go to the mall." Come on, right? Sorry, I'm that guy. But I'm learning how to appreciate God's beauty through nature and God's power through being outdoors. I've been learning a lot about gardening. Honestly, before doing a deeper study in John 15, if you would have said, "Hey, Pastor Hyden, do you even know what a vine does? I'd be like, not really. If somebody said, do you know what a vine dresser is? I'd be like, for sure not. But it has been a joy to learn about Jesus's guarding principles and tips in John chapter 15. He says, I'm the true vine. Here's what a vine is. The vine is the life source that brings power and purpose to the branch. In John 15, we see three main characters in the first six verses. You see the true vine, who is Jesus. He says, I am the true vine. You see the vine dresser, who is the Father. And then you see the branch. The branches are us. Hey, look at the person next to you and say, you're a branch. You're a branch. You're a good-looking branch. Nonetheless, you're still a branch, all right? Branches find their greatest potential through their connection to the vine. If a branch loses its connection to the vine, it loses its power. Fruit is the expression of the vine being produced in and through the branch. And if the branch can stay connected long enough to the vine, at some point, a piece of fruit's gonna pop out of that thing. Jesus is the true vine. We are the real branches. And through our connection, our abiding in him, the fruit will be the life of Jesus popping out of us. I think our issue is it's hard enough to stay still long enough for Jesus to produce his fruit through us. Less trying, more relying. Not trying harder, remaining longer in our connection to the vine. Amen? We talked about what does it mean to go deeper into the vine last night. Today, I want us to look at another key character in the parable in John 15, and that is the vine dresser, God the Father. Jesus is the true vine. Now, the vine dresser's role in the vineyard is to survey the garden. The vine dresser, the chief gardener, walks around and makes sure that the vines and the trellis and the branches are all being properly taken care of in order for the maximum opportunity of fruit producing. Can I just tell you, God the Father is a fruit inspector. Come on, Champion Force. He's looking in this church. He's saying, what type of fruit we got in here? He's looking at your life and he's saying, hey, I want you to produce more fruit, which is the life of the vine through the branch. And the vine dresser's job is to make sure that the most amount of fruit is being born out of these branches. So here we look at the role of the Father in the life of the branch. Three things we see the Father, the vine dresser, doing here in the text. Let's look at the first one. Point number one, he takes away. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this phrase down. He takes away. John 15 verse 2 teaches us that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I submit to you today in a spirit of humility that before doing a deeper study into John 15, I would have likened verse number 2 as a similar verse to verse number 6, that these branches, even though they say in me here, that these branches that are not producing fruit, in a way are being thrown away. They're useless, they're purposeless. They're on their way to an eternal destiny apart from God. That was my understanding of verse 2, but can I just tell you, I have a new view on verse 2 as I've done a deeper study into the phrase, takes away. In fact, if you look up the original Greek word, it's a phrase for takes away. It's the word arrow. Everybody say arrow. And I double-clicked on the word arrow, and I realized the definition for arrow is a word picture that means to lift up. In fact, the idea is to raise something higher so that you can get a better view. To lift something up so that it could be more functional and work at its highest capacity. So now I want you to hear the scripture like this. I think an even better translation of the phrase would be in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he lifts up. Which changed my viewpoint, and it made me want to go deeper into understanding. But what do you mean he He lifts up. So I read the verse and then I paused and I said, let me read it again. And then I thought back and then I said, you know what, let me read it again. I love what a pastor named Donald Whitney, who wrote a book called Spiritual Discipline, says. He says, a lot of times we come away from the Bible cold because we don't warm ourselves through meditation. Sometimes you can just get in a verse and just meditate on it, go deeper in it. And as I looked at this passage, two words started to glow for me, got bigger for me. Do you know what those two words were? In me. Can I just tell you today, Champion Forest, one phrase that you don't wanna treat loosely or passively is any time in the New Testament where you see the phrase in Christ or in me or in Jesus. That's a big deal to be in him, amen? Man, y'all look like y'all need some convincing today. Maybe I wanna just take you on a quick journey. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is, say it with me, in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. In Romans 8, verse 1 and 2, some hallmark verses of the Bible, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Galatians 3:25 says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, talking about the law. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Colossians 2:9-10 says, for in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him, church, who is the head of all rule and authority. I love what the book of Acts proclaims in Acts 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, Paul says, for we are indeed his offspring. Hey, a phrase that should get us all excited, put a little pep in our step today, is the phrase in him, amen? Nothing can snatch those who are in Christ out of his hand. You know what that teaches us, church? You know what that teaches us, students? Some good news here. And at the same time, some clarifying news here. Here's what I believe, church, that John 15, 2 is teaching us that there is a branch in Christ that at times can go through seasons of being fruitless, walking through times and seasons that just feel a bit barren. Come on, has anybody just had seasons in your Christianity where you felt like, man, am I doing it right? Where you feel like, you know what? I believe in Jesus. I even sang the song and I meant it. Come on, my soul. I feel like 2025 was supposed to be my year. Now it's February, I got no fruit. Some of y'all single, like, where's she at? Come on. Lord, where's the fruit at? I thought I was gonna read my Bible in a year. I'm 8 weeks behind. I thought this was gonna be my year to go to FCA or get to church every week. And hey, this is my first time coming. Some of y'all just became believers in Jesus, just got baptized. Listen, you might go through a season. I hope it doesn't happen anytime soon, but it might happen where you just find yourself in a funk, in a rut. But can I tell you to not find your confidence in what you do for Jesus, but in the Jesus that's holding on to you, amen? So good right here in the text, it says, there's a type of branch that's in Christ that's not producing fruit. And what does the vine dresser do for those branches? Can I just tell you, he lifts them up. Can I just tell you, the Father is not walking around looking for those branches in the vine not producing fruit. He's not walking around with a clipboard saying, I'm disappointed in you, I'm disappointed in you. Where's your fruit at? You know what he's doing? He's not looking to tear you down. He's looking to lift you up. Like the Father is not wagging his finger at you. The Father, in fact, is looking for you and saying, I want you to produce more fruit this year, and the fruit of joy, and the fruit of peace, and the fruit of love, and the fruit of goodness, and the fruit of kindness, and the fruit of passion, and the fruit of the life of Christ in you and through you is something that he wants to see happen this year. He's looking to lift you up. It made me think of a moment that I recently had in coaching my son's basketball team. Now, nothing can produce the fruit of patience in you like coaching a 10 and under basketball team. I played basketball in my day. This is my oldest son, and a few of my other younger ones coming up, they all on the team. One of my sons, I'm not gonna name him, messed around and shot the shot on the wrong basket the other day. I said, come on, son. People are here watching. Not only that, he had the nerve. Look, I got him some new hoop shoes for Christmas. Some good basketball shoes. I met them at the game. He runs out on the court. He's got his running shoes for outside. They got little holes in them. He's sliding all around the court. I said, son, where's your hoop shoes? I don't know, Dad. Come on, you know that? I said, come on, man. We get in the game. Shoots the ball in the wrong basket. Struggling on defense. We just had a great week of practice. He's not running the plays. So after a few quarters, you know what I said? Being the loving father and an even better coach. I looked down on the bench. I said, go get him. Pull him out. One of the players went, subbed my son out. My son came and ran off and he sat right next to me. And I said, son, watch the game with me. That's our basket. That's the other team's basket. I know, Dad. You don't need to say that anymore. I know. Clearly you don't. That's our basket. Now look, on defense, don't just run around like a crazy person out there. Pick somebody and match up. Just say, I got number 8 and stick with him. And remember the plays when we do passes. Make good passes and focus. Are you ready? Are you locked in? Take a breath. Grab some water. Get back in the game. Tell you what. He went back in the game, a little bit more confident, a little bit more focused, a little bit better. Now that situation is one example. What if I went and subbed him out and as he was running off the court, I looked at him and I said, you're done. Take your jersey off and go get out of here. In fact, just leave the entire gym. You're thrown off the team. You weren't producing out there, you're done. Can I just tell you, I'm grateful that's not how the Father treats us. That in seasons of fruitlessness, in seasons where we're not quite getting it done, we're scoring for the wrong team sometimes. Jeez. The Father says, look, I'm gonna sub you out for a second, but I'm gonna sub you out to lift you up. I'm gonna sub you out to give you some coaching. I'm gonna give you a word from the word. The Holy Spirit's gonna be knocking on your door. He might wake you up at 4 a.m. saying, I'm here to lift you up. I'm actually here to wake you up because I know you're better than that. I'm gonna put you back in the game and this time you're gonna be better than you were before. Come on, amen. Am I talking to anybody here today? Maybe it's just for me, but I think this is a word for us. Now I was reading in this little book. It's written by a pastor named Bruce Wilkinson. It's a little book called The Secrets of the Vine. And he does a deep dive into John 15 and he begins to record a story about when he had a conversation with a professor from Northern California who owned a vineyard. And he says, ooh, I wanna ask you some questions about life in a vineyard. And Bruce Wilkinson records his conversation. Here's what he writes. We'll put it up on the screen. He says, new branches have a natural tendency to trail down and grow along the ground, but they don't bear fruit down there. When branches grow along the ground, the leaves get coated in dust. When it rains, they get muddied and mildewed. The branch becomes sick and useless. What do? I asked. Cut it off and throw it away? Oh no, he exclaimed. The branch is much too valuable for that. We go through the vineyard with a bucket of water looking for those branches. We lift them up and wash them off. Then we wrap them around the trellis or tie them up. Pretty soon, Champion Forest, they're thriving, amen? Oh, well, one more time, I think we should clap for that. That the Father himself goes through, come on, brother, with a bucket, with some water. He's looking for those branches that are in the vine but are just trailing along the ground, a little bit dusty, a little bit muddy. Oh, Lord, help me. And God says, I came here to help you. The Father says, I got your back. I'm gonna lift you up. I'm gonna wash you off. I want you to produce fruit, much fruit, more fruit, good fruit. Amen? The second thing that we see here in the text is that the Father prunes branches that are producing fruit. Look at verse 2 with me one more time. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, he lifts them up. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Let's highlight that phrase. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. So today, if you're saying, you know what, I'm not really the branch that's not producing fruit. I'm actually seeing fruit in my life, in my marriage, in my family, in my singleness, in my school. I'm seeing fruit in the student ministry, the kids ministry, whatever you may call it. I'm seeing fruit. Can I just tell you good news and also tough news? God prunes the branches that are experiencing fruit. You know why? Because he's the God of more. And I believe the God of more has more in store. That was a rhyme right there. Pastor Jarrett, you know, I got a chance to come to Champion Forest, and I think it was around 2021 when the CF Connect really started to connect and kick off with church planting, and what an honor it's been to be a part of the CF Connect, and Pastor John and the team here have been incredible. But I remember coming to this campus, and the campus that looks today was not the campus that it was then. And it was cool. I was asking Pastor Jarrett, I said, did this place get a makeover? And he was like, man, God has been doing more. And I think that's the right heart, because that's the heart of the Lord for his house. He's saying, I have more fruit to produce, more things I wanna do in this. I'm not done yet. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who's able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, he's able to do more. And I believe for the branches that are producing fruit, God says, hey, we're gonna see some more happen. But here's how God does his greatest fruit producing. Through his pruning process. The word pruning is actually the phrase kataero. So you got arrow lifts up, kataero is the phrase pruning, which means to clip, cut, wash, cleanse, and purify. So if you're producing fruit, God says, all right, I'm coming up to those branches, I'm identifying the fruit producers, and I'm gonna even prune them to produce more fruit. Can I just tell you, when I hear the word cutting and clipping, that doesn't make me feel good. Just imagine the father with those big shears. Come on, y'all know shears? And he's saying, I gotta clip some things off so that you keep going higher. Don't get stagnant, go deeper. I was reading an article, a variety of different articles from gardeners and botanists on planting and vineyards. And I grabbed 4 points from these different articles on reasons pruning happens. Here's 4 reasons why you would prune a plant. 1, to remove diseased or damaged plant material. Here's a word I wanted to share with you. I believe the Father wants to remove the diseased and damaged trauma, drama, baby mama, I don't know, from your life. Whatever it may be that is hindering you, that's damaging you. It's like you take a step forward, but there's a cloud that's over your head saying, hey, you can't do that. You're never gonna be this. You're never gonna break through that addiction. I believe the Father says, yes, you can. Yes, you will. The fruit of the Spirit is gonna come out of you through your abiding, and you're gonna experience more fruit. But in order to do that, I'm gonna have to remove some things. Listen, don't despise God's pruning in your life. As the Holy Spirit is saying, hey, I'm not cool with that. I'm gonna remove those things out of your heart, out of your mind. You're gonna be a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Expect it. In fact, don't disgrace it, embrace it. Lord, I'm ready to be pruned. Just know that's not gonna be easy, but it's gonna be for your good. He wants to remove some of the diseased and damaged plant material that maybe is growing alongside you. To improve the plant shape for forming and fruit producing. I believe in Romans chapter 8 gives one of the goals of the Christian life, right? To be conformed into the image of Jesus. Listen, none of us have arrived yet. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, we're all on the way. Tell the person next to you, say, I'm in process. I'm in process. Look, I'm not there yet. I'm on my way, but I'm not there yet. Look, God is still, the Father is still forming me into the image of Jesus. That's why we need the vine to produce his fruit through these branches. God, keep conforming me, transforming me, molding me, shaping me. How about the clay and the potter, amen? Look, the clay in the potter only works if the clay stays still and allows itself to be molded by the potter's hands. He's molding me. He's improving my shape. He's preventing the pests. Everybody say pests. I don't know why we added the extra S there, but it was fun. Lord, keep me away from the pests. You know, when I think about pests, I think about spiritual warfare, church. Come on, our battle's not against flesh and blood. If you're battling against flesh and blood, and it happens most in the church, maybe you're upset about certain things or people in the row, or you sit on this side because you don't like the people on this side, you gotta cut all that out. No one fights each other like the church fights each other. Can I just tell you, we have an enemy. His name's Satan. And he would love to trick us into fighting against each other. We have a pest in spiritual warfare, the demonic battle. Come on, we need to fight for each other, not against each other. Look out for the tricks and the schemes, the methods of the enemy who's trying to distract us so that we don't experience fruit. Lord, I felt a clap over here. We're gonna clap with you, bro. Come on now. Come on. Man, so often in this church planting journey, Pastor Jared, I'm just realizing, man, a lot of this, I'll just pause for a moment. I'll be like, yo, this is just warfare. We got to turn our attention and we need to recognize this is a scheme of the enemy to try to distract us from what Jesus wants to do in us, improving, fruiting, and flowering. I think a synonym for the phrase pruning is the word discipline. The Father disciplines his fruit producers. Or should I say even better, he disciplines his children. I love this Proverb chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Look at these verses with me. Solomon writes, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary," don't get tired, "of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he's disappointed." Oh my bad, are we reading the same verse? Let's try that again. "The Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Come on, all right? Amen? I came all the way from Las Vegas. I wanted to tell you something, Champion Forest. Look at me. If you're experiencing the Lord's discipline in your life, it's not because he's disappointed in you. It's because he delights in you. Yeah. Woo! If you're like, man, God, why are you disciplining me so much? Are you mad at me? Are you disappointed in me? Are you wagging the finger at me? Oh, the Father doesn't act like that. He's a good Father. Oh, he's a good, good Father, right? This Father disciplines those in whom he delights. The word delight means to take great pleasure in. The Apostle Paul says, "Lord, when are you gonna take this thorn out of my flesh?" Three different times in the book of Corinthians, Paul says, "Lord, can you take this thorn away from me?" Anybody ever just feel like, God, will you take this thorn away? Three different times, and the Lord says, no. The Lord's silent. And then Paul has this mentality shift, and he says, okay, well, in my weakness, your power is made perfect. Lord, he says, I'll boast in my weakness. Lord, discipline me even through the pruning so that in that you might teach me something. James says, I consider it great joy, pure joy, when I'm experiencing trials of various kinds. Oh, give us that type of faith, Lord. When we walk through the trial, we can still have the fruit of peace. We can still have the fruit of joy. We know that there's purpose in the pruning. Come on, there's purpose in the pruning. Amen? There's purpose in the pruning. Hebrews chapter 12 says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Jumping up to verse 11, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Can I get an amen? In the moment, while you're being pruned, when you're in the storm, it's not pleasant, it feels painful. But oftentimes what I've read in the New Testament is that Jesus rarely takes you out of the storm. He just meets you in the storm. He doesn't necessarily rescue Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego from the fire. He just meets them in there. He does his greatest pruning work. It is seasons of discipline. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful, there it is. There goes the fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Oh God, would you train us through discipline? Will we start to produce the muscles through the stretching? The fruit of righteousness, doing the right thing the right way at the right time. Righteousness is Christ in us, through us. The fruit of the vine happens through his discipline process. Amen. Let me give you the third and final point. We'll close here. The last thing that we see the Father doing in the text that I think really is important for us to see, but also I say today with a sorrowful heart. Verse number 6, we find this text. Jesus preaches, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned." I think this is one of the most challenging passages in the entire Bible. This passage should spark the fear of the Lord in us. It should also spark a motivation and passion for the lost, like Pastor Jared just prayed for. Listen to me, church. There's a type of branch that is disconnected from the vine and disinterested in the vine. There's a type of branch that says, "I don't want nothing to do with the vine. I can do this by myself. I don't need to be rescued. I don't need to be saved." That is a deceived, lost branch. Don't you just want to say, "No, you're a branch. Your greatest potential is through your connectivity to the vine." And this branch says, "I don't want it. I reject it. I don't know that." And what happens to that branch is it withers away and it loses its potential. But can I just tell you, God doesn't want any branches to lose their potential. Here's what he says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I think this is a powerful verse from Peter, from the Lord. He says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." And that's why we got to take this good news gospel to fellow branches, even those branches that are disconnected and disinterested, and try to help them see, no, you have purpose. It's found in the Son. It's found in the true vine, not a counterfeit vine. That's going to produce moldy fruit, bad fruit, styrofoam fruit. It's good fruit found in Jesus. Because of our sins, we have been separated from the Father. But the Father sends his Son, not giving us what we do deserve, but giving us what we don't deserve in Jesus. He gives us the true vine. And the Father today is worthy of our worship. Today, if you're a disinterested and detached branch, the difference between verse 2 and verse 6 is verse 2, these are branches that are in the vine. Verse 6 says, these branches are not in the vine. They're not abiding in him. Today, what if you ask the Lord, "Lord, connect me. Would you graft me in? Would you save me? Would you connect me to the purpose and life source of the garden? Would you put me into Christ?" And Christ today, with nail-pierced hands, says, "I paid for you to be in me." Amen? And I would just extend that invitation. Don't waste your potential withering away. That's a terrible destiny, to have eternity in hell apart from God because you wanted to do your own thing. Oh, repent of that today. Fall at the feet of Jesus. Students, if your heart is hardened today, ask the Lord to soften it and get connected into the vine where there's good fruit, much fruit, more fruit. Amen. I learned this from my pastor, Vance Pittman, who encouraged me through this passage, that the primary calling on our lives is not ministry or doing something for Jesus, but intimacy with Jesus and in an abiding relationship of his presence in us and through us for his glory. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Father, we come before you now in Jesus' name. and by the power of the Holy Spirit that's in this room right now. God, there's a lot of power in this room. Oh Lord, if we all took seriously the invitation to abide in you, oh God, there's gonna be fruit all over this city. It's gonna go into the world, to the nations. God, would you use us to produce more fruit? And God, as we respond now to your good news gospel, I believe that everybody in the room is in one of three places. Today, if you're in Christ and you're not producing fruit, ask him to lift you up, and he will. Today, if you're producing fruit and you're being pruned, ask him for endurance. Ask him for patience. Ask him for strength to endure in the season of pruning. And today, if you're lost, you can be found by King Jesus and connected back to home, into the vine. God, I pray that we would take a next step here today. And I pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Forest, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.